Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
With Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
Hello, happy Saturday. Ken Laird.
Chris Curtis.
Sorry to report, Curtis, I was at Connie Forum last night and your Eagles whipped the Huskies 3-0. I want to get that out of the way. It was not a pleasant night for me.
Why, if you only have one thing to do, can't you do it? Like, you have no other team, you have no football, you have nothing. Like, why can't you be good?
We're rebuilding. Like the Red Sox.
Rebuilding.
It's a rebuilding process.
I actually saw your AD, who I don't know who it is, was on the phone, and he said, oh, I got a good call, and then he left, but he wouldn't tell me what happened.
But he didn't say full throttle? Or what
an embarrassing week for the Red Sox. God, have they gotten so sad and pathetic.
It's not.
How are you not embarrassed?
They have. Everybody is believing. Everybody is legitimately convinced they will spend. They have.
But why?
They have switched the narrative.
But what is the narrative relevant to? Either you spend or you don't.
No, but you woo free agents and give them a sense that other free agents are going to start signing on the dotted line.
Right. You know how you woo free agents to get them to believe that you're going to spend
press.
Money?
Through the press.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure Juan Soto reads Boston Dirt Dogs. Like, what?
He listens to David Ortiz. He and David Ortiz grew up together. When Poppy talks, he listens.
Okay.
Poppy's in the Dominican. He's talking to Soto's parents,
Soto.
His family.
Yeah, Poppy didn't even go, and neither did John Henry.
He doesn't need to. He speaks this way. He goes on Baseball Isn't Boring. And
so
chats with
David
Rob.
Ortiz went on with Rob Bradford, but not to the meeting with Juan Soto. And we think that this is a real deal.
LL full package.
I mean, so in all sincerity, I understand the flip nature. But either you offer something or you don't. Why the urgent need to tell fans what you're going to do, other than what you did last year, which is it's time to sell tickets in advance of Christmas, and they're not selling tickets.
Sam Kennedy's quote, "We intend to invest going forward." It is sort of damning of your approach to last year. I mean, they admit in there. Maybe you picked up on this and I missed it, but they admitted in there they were busy with the PGA Tour stuff. So, I mean, I guess we all knew it, but they just fully indicted themselves that last year they were not invested. I mean, how did that? That does not make a fan base feel
okay, but
good.
This is what happens when someone in a business relationship is attempting to regain trust they willfully lost. And you don't regain trust through words. You regain it through actions. And so, I'm sorry, they have lost, I thought Shaughnessy nailed this on Friday, they have lost the right of gaining, they have lost the benefit of the doubt. And for Sam Kennedy now, I mean, how do you make this make sense? At the conclusion of the baseball season, at the end of year presser where John Henry's downstairs, you know, playing with soybeans, and Sam Kennedy's forced to meet the media.
Yep.
Sam Kennedy's pressed about the team's plans in terms of spending in the offseason. The thing that he won't shut up about now. A month and a half ago, he's asked, and he says, that is something we will not engage in. It gives our opponents a competitive advantage. So now he's doing it everywhere. Make that make sense.
Yeah, I can't justify that, except that internally they had to discuss their plan, I guess, with John before.
Wait, nothing to do with internally.
Talk to the owners.
Nope. He said it gives our opponents a competitive advantage.
Well, right, but that was before the starting gun went off. Now it's free agency. The gun went off. They've made the trip.
Oh, so players have already been signed?
Oh, the process has started. I mean, a couple players.
I'm asking the players that you would be discussing.
Well,
in terms
of everybody's waiting on Soto. That's the first shoe to fall, and they have to wait a month. So therefore, they need to fill the ether.
It's not about internally, because internally you could talk about everything. He's talking about discussing outwardly with you, the media, gives our opponents a competitive advantage.
That was before free agency. Now it's free agency.
In what way does his discussion before they've signed anyone in free agency change?
They took the Yankees by surprise. They didn't know they were going to fly to California for that meeting.
Right, but
totally hoodwinked them.
Okay, but could you be serious for a nanosecond?
I'm trying to make an argument. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay, so why are you
justifying? I'm trying to make some sense out of it.
But it's not. It's nonsensical.
That's the big difference. There is something different now.
No, nobody signed. Literally, nothing's changed.
I know, but it's now we're underway. You admit it was different. We were not underway. That was still in the playoffs.
Okay, Braverman, has Juan Soto signed?
No.
Okay, thank you. Has Blake Snell signed?
No.
Has Teoscar Hernandez signed?
I would say no.
Okay, so then it's no different than October 3rd or whenever the hell that
was.
Well,
in Ken's mind, Isaiah Campbell on a minor league deal is the same as Juan Soto.
Good point, and they hired a new first base coach.
How about here's what's happening, okay, Ken? It's very easy. They are totally terrified at their standing in the Boston sports landscape today.
Well, that's a start. I'll take that. They weren't last year. Last year, they were distracted by the PGA and didn't care.
Right, and lied about it over and over again.
Yes,
Sam Kennedy called me a liar. Well,
I can't defend that. Do you think I enjoyed watching a middling season when they had a chance to do much more?
No, but so here's where I'm sitting. I have, at every opportunity, spoken with Sam, Tom Warner, whoever they provide to
speak with us.
You're
wrong. You're a liar.
I said to him last year, could you get the full question now that we know about PGA? Because, God, I love to be right. So when we're at that Springfield, which if you haven't been to Springfield in January, you're a moron. God, is it lovely.
It is lovely. Shout out 105.5.
We're hanging out, and right at the start, you know, they come up and sit down. And I expressed to him very, I believe, politely, that their diversified portfolio has led them to be disengaged from the Red Sox operation.
Right.
And that it feels like it has become a chore, is I believe the exact wording I used. And he replied by saying, I'm a liar.
Now, in his defense, he didn't say you specifically, but he said anybody who says that.
So that's even worse. So then he's calling fans liars.
It was a larger bucket, yes.
Okay, but he was looking at me when he said it, was he not?
He was kind of looking around the room.
Oh, yeah.
You did curry favor with he and Tom Warner by ripping the Patriots before they sat down.
That's great. Well, exactly. It was lovely.
But here's his quote from this week, by the way, while Joe finds that. I would say the PGA Tour deal took a lot of time last year. I mean, so it's just that's their defense for not spending last year. They were distracted by the PGA Tour deal. That is insulting. That is tough.
But
now it gets
kind of. Why do people like your buddy Bradford, like, just do their bidding? Like, has Bradford done anything about that?
He's our colleague. My buddy is your coworker. He's our colleague.
Okay, I would go in order. He is your buddy and your colleague, secondary.
Both.
Okay, Ken. Do you manage Rob Bradford?
I don't.
Okay, exactly. Rob is a guy who has a podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring, and nobody's
part of our award-winning Red Sox coverage, which just won a Sound Bites Award for best play-by-play of the year.
I think he's heading to the moon. My critique would be that the relentless regurgitating of the company line.
By the way, 603 text, thank you for getting Shime off the air. What a just a stray. The Shime's ticking. I was happy to see him back this morning. Weren't you happy to see him?
I saw him walking in, and I have to say that text did make me laugh. But the story is not that they're saying they're going to spend. The story is that what they said in October, what they said last year to me about lying if you don't believe we're as engaged, and then buried in the Silverman piece in the Company Organ Boston Globe Henry newspaper, Sam Kennedy let slip that, last year the PGA negotiations impeded our ability to improve the team.
Yeah.
Yet all Bradfo's doing is talking to David Ortiz about Soto.
But that's two different things now. On your show, Wiggy's convinced they're going to spend.
But Wiggy's more compromised than Bradfoe when it
comes
to the Red
Sox. Greg is convinced they're going to spend. Greg Hill said this week, I am buying it.
Yeah.
That was directly out of his mouth.
That'll be the first thing he's buying.
He doesn't buy much. A lot of free stuff.
No, I mean, yesterday I go around the Seaport, we got a free tree. It was lovely.
Honestly, admit, you think they're going to spend some money. They're not going to make all this noise, all right. this rattling without signing somebody. Maybe not Soto.
Okay, but I go back to where I put the Patriots and the Red Sox in a very similar boat because they have had the most success and they have been the most popular and they have both gotten off course for differing reasons. Well done is better than well said.
Of course, but can't well do anything until Soto signs. But he has to interview with three other teams first.
But my point is that when Elliot Wolf arrives at the Combine in Indianapolis and he says, you know, it's just something, we're going to change the vibes. When Robert Kraft tells Amazon on their lone primetime game of the year, I knew 5 years ago that Jerod Mayo was the coach. When you have these things, it makes an already difficult task more difficult, more cumbersome, more you add bullets and bullseyes to your back, as opposed to coming in and saying Bill Belichick is the gold standard. You know, obviously I'm here because we're going in a different direction. I look forward to the challenges that we will face. And Sam Kennedy, instead of saying we're going to do X, Y, and Z, you say our fan base deserves more from us, and we are committed to showing you that now. It's very simple.
Well, that's kind of what he said.
No.
Our priority is to win the American League East, win the division for multiple years.
We're going to spend.
We're going to spend.
So
we'll
within...
basically said they'll go over the CBT if they have to.
Within... It's been like Joe and Mika on Biden and Trump the last 40 days. You have...
Maybe Kennedy should meet with Trump.
October 4th. Well, now we know after the layoffs coming to MSNBC why they went to Mar-a-Lago. But October 4th, you say it's foolish... And it gives our opponents a competitive advantage to talk publicly about spending. Then you literally go on every playtesty baseball podcast in America saying just that.
Yeah, they're on the media tour. They're trying
we
to change.
We have not had Sam Kennedy on, although he has an open invite.
Right, whenever. Yeah, we're actually going to get lunch today.
So before we hear this clip from Winter Weekend, can I just put this question out to the populace? Is the Sam Kennedy chatter, is the Red Sox spin this week pissing you off or giving you encouragement? Giving
and
you hope.
I would like to play this.
617-779-7937.
And I think we didn't talk about this before, but I think let's play this next. We had sad news this week with the passing of Larry Johnson.
Yes.
And as you did for many years outside of Kirk and Jerry when we were on during the week, I thought the second best show at the station was, in some days, probably the best show at the station, but especially given the long and historic run it had on Saturday mornings, that Mustard and Johnson was a must listen. I used to get up, especially spring, summer, fall, after a big Yankee Red Sox game Friday night. You'd turn it on. You knew Craig would have the Yankees perspective. You knew Larry would have the local reaction. You had
Voice
Mike and Canton. You had Frank and Gloucester. You had all the people that you got, Danny and Quincy. All those guys would call in, and it felt like a nice, great start to the weekend where you were able to react to the week that was on EEI, the week that was in Boston Sports. And personally, Larry was always so kind to me and was just a genuinely upbeat, nice guy who was a decorated cartoonist, who was in many roles on the big show at WEEI, and of course with Craig on Saturdays. And sadly, we lost him this week, or last Friday. But wanted to say what I know you will echo, that our thoughts and prayers are with Larry's family. And it really is an honor to be on in the time slot that he occupied so well for so long.
It is. I was lucky enough to produce their show for a couple years when I came back here in 15 and 16. Those guys were great every Saturday, eager, willing, helpful, you know, encouraging to young guys who were trying to get a hold in the business. And I echo what you're saying. He was a unique character. I always loved the passion. You'd start the segment, Craig would kind of wander around trying to find the topic of the day, and he'd find something that pushed a button with Larry. He would pop off. He would get excited. He would get fired up. And those two had a good contrast in styles that really worked well.
And it's also just everybody has a podcast. A million people.
In Larry's case, the Godcast at one point.
Who couldn't forget it. And hopefully he's doing that with them now.
Yep.
But he's an original. Like, there was no Larry that he copied. There was no Larry that came after him. He just was a guy that had very deep convictions, comfort in being himself, laughed at himself.
You know, I was from Pittsburgh. Basically, once a week or once a month, he would say, "Are you crying in your terrible towel?"
But, you know, just to be who you are, try your best. And we are all very fortunate to have heard Larry and Craig, who Craig put a very nice tribute to Larry.
Yeah, I want to read that. Craig Mustard saying, "Larry and I spent nearly 30 years together arguing on the air and bonding off it. The best partner ever, and I had some good ones. And what laughs. We looked at sports and life through a different lens. But our respect and love for each other was never in doubt. He made me a better broadcaster and more emphatic person. What a privilege it was to know him. Rest in peace, Larry." That's from Craig Mustard a couple days ago.
Agreed. Rest in peace.
Teacher and the preacher. So you and I do our best to fill this gap and honor their show going forward. You're kind of a preacher. You got a little preacher in you.
I have preacher. I am no Larry, and but honestly, some of my most enjoyable moments just listening to this radio station, you know, whether it was Clemens or, you know, the way Larry reacted to Roger Clemens and George's box. I mean, just unbelievable moments. So we will celebrate him today, but what a great life he lived and gone too soon.
Certainly take your thoughts on LJ if you want to bring them today. 617-779-7937. All right, well, so let's take a little breather, get some news.
We'll hear from Sam next.
Let's get that Sam quote in. I actually didn't want to start Red Sox today. I thought that with Patriots were off the bat, the topic. But you're fired up about Sam speaking. You'd rather silence. You'd rather Red Sox silence.
If somebody said something to you a month ago and then said the polar opposite a month today, you'd be fine with it?
Well, you're not fine with the past, but if it's true and honest and they've turned a page and they've turned a corner and going forward it's different, which this seems to be.
He said what he's doing gives opponents a competitive advantage. Well, he did. Not a year ago, a month ago.
Right, before free agency. I don't know why you're so hung up on that. Now it's free agency. Now they can be open about it.
Wouldn't this be the time you'd least want others to know your plans?
Well, no. Now you're trying to convince players to sign here that your intentions are real. One of the things that Soto was most impressed about was their plan. They laid it out for him.
Can I ask you what Soto benefits from saying anything negative about the Red Sox?
Okay, God. So you have no hope. They're not going to sign anybody.
No, I just would like to point out a fraud, and we keep hearing from one of the biggest frauds.
They have been fraudulent. I don't believe they will be fraudulent going forward.
Okay.
I think they're real. I think they're legit. I'm ready to see it. I agree. I'm ready to hear the news. Here's Joby.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's also been a hallmark that we don't talk publicly about what we plan to do with our payroll, not because we're trying to hide anything from the media or the fans. We just don't like to talk publicly about our payroll plans because we see it as a competitive advantage in the American League East to not tip our hands to our competitors. That said, it's time to get back where we belong.
Can we hear that one more time?
Well, at the end, he saved it at the end because he said, now it's time.
Can we hear that one more time? This is a month and a half ago, Sam Kennedy.
It's also been a hallmark that we don't talk publicly about what we plan to do with our payroll.
Stop right there.
Don't stop right there. At the end, he says we're changing our hallmark. They're changing their stripes.
I love the fake laugh in the middle of it. It just makes it feel even more genuine.
And to hide anything from the media or the fans, we just don't like to talk publicly about our payroll plans because
okay,
we see it
no, no,
as
let
a
it play.
Competitive advantage in the American League East, to not tip our hands to our competitors. That said, it's time.
It's time
to get back where we belong.
So if you play the whole clip, you get the full context of what he was saying. Even a month ago, they were ready to change the narrative. I like that. See, sometimes the media just selectively clips what they want and tries to spin it. But sometimes you got to play the whole clip.
I think it gives our opponents, I'm not trying to be glib to the media, I don't want to give our opponents a competitive advantage. And now I think he just went on the skate pod and said they're podcast. Willing to spend money this offseason.
That was a great episode. I mean, you can find that just, wherever you find your podcast.
If you trust this ownership group, you are a moron.
There's something different. Come on, admit it. I agree. They've made some missteps. They've made some foibles. They were distracted last year. Horrible. Horrible to admit that.
Honestly,
the worst thing, that was the worst thing. You didn't even bring that up. To admit that you were distracted by the PGA Tour last year.
I literally brought that up last segment.
I brought that up last segment.
I said that I want to hear the conversation we had in Springfield. My exact words were, if you haven't been to Springfield in January, I highly recommend it. And you said it's very nice. And then I said,
just replay the start of the show.
Well, you're saying I forgot something.
I brought it up to
you. And I said that comment was the reason I said, I want to hear Sam Kennedy call me a liar, because I pointed out to him that year.
I jogged your memory about last year's conversation. Yes, let's hear the winter weekend clip.
It feels like to me today, what began as a passion has sort of fallen into a chore. Like, we don't hear from John as much. We don't see you guys out there as much. It feels like it's not quite the same. Maybe it's just, you know, I'm wrong on a lot of things like Wiggy, but it's just my perception of it. Is that
inaccurate? Well, I think your perception is inaccurate.
Yeah. These issues come up around lack of focus, or it may not be as important in it's almost a zero-sum way. And what I mean by that is, when you finish last 2 years in a row, of course those are going to be the questions. We have to acknowledge that and own that. In October of 2021, there was not one bit of discussion around lack of focus. There was no discussion of Liverpool or investment in other areas. You know why? Fenway Park was freaking electric. I've never felt Fenway Park the way it felt for that one game playoff against the Yankees when Xander took Gerrit Cole deep. The place almost came down.
Uh-oh.
I know it was 2021. It's a couple years ago. But why? We were winning baseball games. We're playing in October. When we have two sucky seasons like we've had, these are natural questions. We have to take them. But I can tell you, as a kid who grew up less than a mile from Fenway Park,
check.
If you think for 1 second that we aren't passionate, committed, dedicated to the Boston Red Sox, you're wrong, you're a liar, and I'll correct you on it.
Okay.
Because it's total BS.
Total BS.
And we are committed.
Oh.
We're frustrated.
Okay, stop.
We take it personally.
Okay, so that was January of 2020. That was this past January, 2024. And 2 days ago, buried in the Globe, which I guess is redundant, Michael Silverman notes that Sam Kennedy mentioned that the PGA investment and project got their attention away from rebuilding the baseball
team.
Took
a lot of time.
So,
dude.
So if somebody says this
to you.
That's
horrible. That's as bad as Van Pelt. Don't you agree?
Oh, well, I mean, for different reasons. I mean, it's worse than Van Pelt because I don't have high hopes for Van Pelt.
Yeah, but Van Pelt admitted he didn't watch tape of the team he was taking over last year.
Right.
He admitted to the world.
Not great.
He did not watch any Patriots offensive film from 2023.
Drake May is.
It is a horrible admission.
He's got the earth on his shoulders. I fully agree.
He came in and was like, I don't want to watch that. They were like, here, Alex, here's last year's tapes. I would choose not to watch that. I'm just starting from scratch.
Okay, totally agree.
That is unbelievably bad.
It's sad is that it's, for me, not unbelievable because I don't think of him in high regard.
Okay.
Or
Mayo, the coach,
awful.
Didn't tell him at some point, you know, we've used this guy on offense before. That is horribly bad.
Things have gotten bad around here. Not great.
This is not that bad, but it's a bad admission.
It's a very successful management trick. I don't care to rank other people's idiocy. Okay, do you want to say, let's match it up with Howard Dean's scream? I don't know.
Patriot shill just defending Mayo left and right these days.
No, I that's an abomination. I think I tweeted the day it happened. I was like, this is it's insane. Like, how is that possible? Wouldn't that be the only thing you would do is watch film of the team you're taking over? Anyway, I agree. Not great.
Who had the worst day over the weekend?
underrated dumbest thing ever, that was asked the Monday after the worst shooting in the history of the United States. And Pete Shepard goes, oh, that's brutal. But who had the worst day over the weekend? Ed Orgeron.
quick diversion. You were coming in today. Traffic on Storrow.
And
big weekend here in New England.
Storrow and Soldier Field.
Yep.
Harvard-Yale at noon.
There we go.
I think they opened the lots at 9, so there was a big backlog of electric cars.
I saw an article. They had a big knockdown drag out over the tailgate as to whether to have inflatables or not have inflatables, whether to have face painting or not have face painting, because the kids, they want to just drink, you know, and it makes it look like a kid's party. And anyway, they had some big blow-up about the tailgate, so be careful with the tailgate today.
Yeah.
The Harvard tailgate.
It's crazy out
there. People are on edge. And Yale, I saw, is a big favorite, 11-point favorite.
Rough day for the Harvard administration in November. But
and North Carolina, only a 2.5-point favorite over your Eagles at the Heights.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to give BC betting advice because I've been advised against it. But today would favor BC, I would say, the weather out there. But
Drake May spoke to the Tar Heels last night. So that's not great.
Inspiration
from the next John Elway.
Exactly. Two quick things, and we'll get back to the initial point that you tried to waylay.
Okay.
Lock of the year, parlay, first ever parlay. Ohio State minus, I think it's like 10.5 against Indiana.
That's best game of the day.
Blow doors.
Whoa, really?
And Notre Dame only 14.5 at Yankee Stadium against Army. People think it's the tweener game before USC. USC's not that good.
Trap game.
Notre Dame is exponentially more talented than Army. Army's beaten nobody except for, you know, our adversaries, which we support. So 7:00 Yankee Stadium, Notre Dame minus 14.5, Ohio State minus 10.5.
You're giving the points.
Oh yeah,
you're betting on Notre Dame. That's
I
like
have several times this year.
Okay,
they are going to I had them against Louisville. They covered easily.
I'm taking Indiana in the points. By the way,
you are an idiot.
Indiana is
10.5.
That is a lot of points.
Yeah, Indiana.
Indiana's legit.
Okay, Ohio State is like a pro team. Ryan Day gets out of the way, they'll be okay. Ohio State doesn't lose to teams.
They're going to lose, but 10.5. Oh. God, what a disrespect.
They had a very close game. I think it was last week against Wisconsin, maybe. Or I don't know.
This is a horrible weekend. The NFL slate Sunday is dreadful.
Right.
Awful.
That's why I'm just going to listen to Juan Soto podcast.
617-779-7937. Are you angry that Sam Kennedy is speaking up? I love it because it's like, what would you prefer? You would rather they not be involved in the Soto negotiations at all. If there was no buzz about it, you'd be ripping them for not being in on Soto.
Okay, let me just go back in time to a period before social media where I actually trusted the triumvirate of Larry, Tom, and John. And that was after the brutal Game 7 loss at Yankee Stadium with Aaron Boone's home run. The Cold War began, and that offseason was the pursuit of Alex Rodriguez. It was the Thanksgiving, right around now.
You don't go back to the Manny signing in 2000?
Nope. New, different ownership group.
That was a change of everything.
But that was Duquette, and yep. that was Harrington. We're talking about the same people that own the team today.
Okay.
So that offseason, the ball lands in Yankee Stadium. Larry Lucchino says, you know, this was a good year, but unacceptable conclusion. We will not rest until we take down the Yankees or evil empire, whatever he wrote. They signed Keith Foulke. Fixed the biggest need in the bullpen. They acquired Curt Schilling via trade. Got a huge move there. They fail in their pursuit of A-Rod, but that ultimately leads to the departure of Nomar, we all remember. Hmm. At no point did John or Tom or Larry come on with DNC or The Big Show and say, we are fully committed to winning because we all saw it. No, believe me, I lived it. They didn't.
No, and you weren't always cognizant.
My memory is irrefutable.
Let's go Red Sox! Let's go Red Sox!
You do have a great memory. However, sometimes you strongly remember an event that proves to be not quite accurate.
Like I remember thinking you were a good hire.
You weren't here when I was hired. You were somewhere else.
No, I mean,
and then you came back.
Well, okay.
And I questioned the hire because you immediately said lead producer of the morning show
was right. Was you're far wrong. More successful.
Either
way. If you have to tell someone you're doing something, you're doing something wrong. You either are successful or you're unsuccessful. If you're telling people you're pursuing, and let's just work with me here. Let's say we hear Sam Kennedy say that they think it's a bad idea to tell others what they're doing, but we're going to try and get back to where we were. And that's the last we hear of him. Then we see the news reported by John Heyman that a contingent of Sam Kennedy and Tom Warner and Alex Cora have spent a three-hour dinner with Scott Boras and Juan Soto. We say, wow, that's awesome. Good news.
Yes, but you're thinking of it from the fan's point of view. You're right about that from a fan point of view. If you're Blake Snell, if you're Corbin Burns, and you're sitting wherever you are, and you're looking at the headlines on your social media because you're on your phone, and you see Sam Kennedy, we intend to invest going forward. That matters.
But here's where you could easily do that. You call up Scott Boras. You call up whoever Blake Snell's agent is.
And it's not the same. You reach these people in the new era on their phones.
Okay, right. And so you call their agent and you say...
Their agent is like a business guy that they work with who's talking to teams.
So you think that Teoscar Hernandez follows EEI on Twitter?
He follows, yeah. I mean,
what are you talking about?
He follows general sports media people where headlines like this will pop. He wants to see Red Sox buzz. They're likely to sign with a team where
right.
there's buzz.
So there's buzz when they meet with Juan Soto.
Correct. That's good.
How is that any different?
So they did that.
So let me say
now
this.
Now they're also saying they're going to sign other people.
Let's work with your
they're
train of thought.
Investing going forward.
Let's use your modus operandi
yes.
here.
Yep.
Let's say
it's a media blitz.
The Red Sox just say they're in on people, but don't meet with Juan Soto. Or they meet with Juan Soto and they don't say they're in on everyone. Which is a better plan?
So they can meet with Juan Soto, but don't say they're in on everybody.
Right. They just meet with him and they let everybody know about it. Or they don't meet with him, but they yell to Rob Bradford that we're in.
I like the second plan.
Okay, so that's my whole point, is that minus the actual execution.
Can't you meet with them and create buzz?
But to me, I view the duality of it as a sign that it's bullcrap. That if you're just because if you're
it rings hollow to you
because
it's not hitting you
when
well.
They have been in on people,
yeah.
they've done it.
Yeah.
Did we know they were in on Trevor Story?
413 texter Curtis is absolutely right. Other than sale, ownership has barely done anything in years. We won in 2013 and 2018 in spite of ownership. Those teams were never invested to win. Well, that's interesting. Like Shaughnessy actually gives them credit through 2018. If you mentioned his column,
yeah,
he basically says things changed in 2018. I was kind of surprised at that. Do you agree with this texter that they've going back 10 years been weird ownership? Because some people do believe they've flopped. You know, with the Lester thing, and they've changed their approach. They've kind of wishy-washied it going through.
Listen.
But if it's only a five-year thing, as Shaughnessy says, then it could just be they took a little turn, and now they're back.
What is most frustrating for me, and the reason it is personal, is that I believe they have taken the hard-earned dollar of the Red Sox fan.
Yes.
And used that money to do things other than invest in the team that fan has put their money into.
No doubt.
You've
called this out, and you're right to do
so. But it's just so, that's why it is infuriating.
Right.
Because you admit, Sam Kennedy, that, you know, Bill and Attleboro that bought four season tickets last year, all of that money went to figure out how to get John Rahm off of LIV and how to find the Penguins a defenseman.
So you're unable to just look to this season in a vacuum and look forward.
Right.
You're not able to forgive.
Well, if they go out and they sign Juan Soto and they bring in Blake Snell and they do all these things, I'll say, awesome, great.
But at this moment, you're perturbed. Now, Joe Braverman, producer of the Play Tessie podcast.
Yes, sir.
Are you more perturbed at this sort of chatter, or are you encouraged?
I just like hearing that they're meeting with people rather than that they're in on people.
Well, they're doing both.
That's different. Like, last year, they were in on Shohei. They were in on Yamamoto, but they never had a realistic chance.
Right.
They're actually meeting with Max Fried and Corbin Burns and Blake Snell. I'd rather hear that.
This feels different, though, you admit.
I agree.
Okay.
But I'm with Curtis that they need to show that they sign these guys rather than talk about it and hype up everyone.
Let me ask you this.
Can I read you Jim Bowden?
No, he is a total boob.
Come on.
He is a organizational stooge from Weston.
Well, I can't read it. God, I was very excited.
Okay, go ahead. Read Jim Bowden.
Okay, he's Jim Bowden. The Red Sox know they made a mistake when they decided not to go all in to keep Mookie Betts. and they've learned from their missteps in recent years.
I want to go.
They appear to be serious players for Soto. That is awesome to hear. If that's true,
when was this
big
if? So they're going to bring back Chaim Bloom, who they fired because they hired him to remove Mookie Betts.
Well, they knew they made a mistake.
And by the way, where's Breslow in all this?
Well, Breslow, a little internal. We normally have a client meeting with
Breslowbald
with clients, and Breslow, he speaks to a lot of the Odyssey people.
Right. Greg always looks forward to that every year.
It's usually in December. We are moving it to January. And the thought is that they want to have some things to talk about and think they will in a month's time, as opposed to doing it now and talking, as you say, to well said better than well done. So that's just a little thing.
Do you think the ticket sales are down?
I bet you they probably are, yes. Right. I think so.
So maybe that's driving the communications versus their actual need to sign someone.
617-779-7937. I also would like to play the clip of the week. I don't think this got enough attention. You guys got Mayo to admit Monday that, well, I don't know if he admitted, he called Albert Breer's reports false, right? Yeah. You got him to take Breer to task.
Very interesting back and forth.
Very interesting. And then Breer responded on NBC Sports Boston to Mayo calling his report bunk. So I want to play that clip for you next.
There were some reports this week that the organization was calling around asking for the best way to develop a young quarterback. Is that
yet we sit here and say he's developing at a good trajectory? I mean, so could we all agree on that?
Yeah.
All right. So, like, all those reports are false. It's almost like talking out of both sides of our mouths. Like, we're sitting here saying, like, he's developing great, and then they sit here and the story come out that people are asking around how to develop a quarterback. It's like, who do you think's responsible for that? It's Alex Van Pelt. He's responsible for that. And so why even call around to ask how to develop a quarterback? Yet everyone in the New England area, you just said Sean McVay included on the West Coast, is like, hey, this guy's developing at a good rate, and he's going to be a good football player in this league.
Gerard Mayo, Greg Hill, morning show, Monday. Those reports are false. So that all talking about the Albert Breer report from the week prior that the organization had been making calls about how to handle young quarterbacks, to paraphrase.
And in the context of, yet again, the owner of the Patriots at the end of the week being turned away from Canton, Ohio. So I believe that the reason we know about the team, and I believe Bert Breer, that the team was absolutely making phone calls, what the context was, if it was taken the wrong way. I feel there's a sort of a line with which everybody can kind of be right still. But
why do you think Gerard was so forceful in his denial of it?
Because I think he initially took it the wrong way. It could be that the team was trying to make sure they were doing everything right, and he's looking good. That would not be the way I would refute a report.
And he has to admit he can't really know all. I mean, it's possible that the Crafts are calling people and telling them they aren't.
Right. It's possible that he called Robert and he said, hey, what the hell are you doing? And Robert's like, listen, I wasn't doing that. I was just doing due diligence. I wasn't, you know.
Right. It didn't strike me as a great reaction from Mayo to say that. I mean,
it felt defensive.
It felt defensive. I agree.
And, you know, I have to say, I was starting to feel better about Van Pelt. I was. And then this week, it's like, good God, I have no faith in him. I honestly have no faith in the entire Patriots organization. I hope Mayo's successful.
But what about Drake?
Right. But it's not a great organization when one guy carries you. We've seen that. Where there are transcendent talents at quarterback,
like Justin Herbert,
that take a crap organization,
yep,
or Trevor Lawrence, or for a period of time, or Peyton Manning back with that guy playoffs, and you know you can find certain people that Boomer Esiason's career. I mean, he took bad teams and made them good,
and bad coaches can't ruin a good quarterback. We admit that. Or
can
limit
or
them,
can't.
They can. Stifle them.
They can stifle.
Sure.
I don't think you can ruin a great quarterback. But good, you certainly can. And I watch where this team is now, and I laugh at the Dan Orlovsky's who were like, you can't play Drake May. I mean, God, thank God for Drake May.
Well, they were right about that. He's playing this well because they sat him.
I don't know when you'll be right, but it could happen this year, hopefully.
Now, can we hear Breer's report to the Mayo thing before we get too far off? So Breer responded. He was on Boston Sports tonight and was asked. Okay, they played the clip from you guys, and Mayo saying that report is false. And here's Breer's reaction to that.
Look, like I'm obviously going to stand by my reporting. I know for a fact what happened, and I don't blame. And I defended the Kraft sitting here for doing it because I do think it's the most important thing is what the next 3 or 4 years look like for Drake May. And so making sure that you have the right information on what's happening with your quarterback now, you have perspective on what's happening with your quarterback right now, and you're getting advice from smart people on where you're going with your quarterback is not a bad thing to do. This sort of thing can happen in casual conversation with people. They, through 30 years of ownership, have a lot of relationships with people who've worked for them. They've got relationships with people who haven't worked for them. And so I think using those resources is a smart thing. It wasn't my intention to make it look like the Krafts were undermining Mayo, but I could see how it could be put that way. And I don't think it was their intention to do it either. But, like, this is, again, like, I think it's part of their process for, like, now it looks like we have a real one. You know, it looks like we've got a quarterback that we can build around for the next 10 to 15 years. So we're going to turn over every rock we possibly can to make sure that we do right by him.
And I don't think fans would take it as, in this case, Robert Kraft calling around is mostly a good thing, right? Wouldn't most fans support that? And doesn't your dad, a season ticket holder, like that?
I think everybody hopes the organization is doing everything it can to get back to where it was or close.
I mean, not if it's performative, like you're saying. You kind of had the conspiracy. They're trying to make themselves look good to get in the Hall of Fame.
Of course he is. Everybody.
Well, then that's different.
Everybody within both the Patriots and the Red Sox organizations is consumed with how they appear instead of how they do.
Well, now he's out of the Hall of Fame, so maybe they won't get.
I mean, obviously, it's absurd he's not in the Hall of Fame. I mean,
that is a whole other story.
So laughable. I was texting with a former backup quarterback about that yesterday, and he was just, because I was like, what am I missing? What's the story here? It's just jealousy, and it's just bizarre, but no fan gives a crap.
But anyway, this whole thing, to put a ribbon on this, does not look good for Mayo. He feels defensive. He feels undermined. And you know that by the way he reacted to you guys Monday.
But here's the thing. He feels undermined, and it's hurting him. It's another thing, and I'm not saying it's going to be a reason they win or lose. But in the pile of beneficial or detrimental, it's detrimental.
It's detrimental. It's not a good week for him. But Christian Gonzalez on-field decision.
Doesn't know the name of the show he's on.
Well, that's Gonzalez. But, I mean, Mayo not putting Gonzalez on Nacua or Cooper Kupp on the field. Horrible. Him getting defensive about being undermined by Kraft calling around bad. And then the Van Pelt, Marcus Jones thing. What a bad week for Mayo.
But also, what Robert Kraft fails to understand, it appears, is that if Mayo is bad or gets his legs cut out from under him or isn't successful, that is against Robert Kraft.
Yeah. So, but he can still use him as a fall guy.
Okay, but it is entirely on. It's not a fall guy. He picked the wrong guy 5 years ago.
Right. He would be admitting a mistake.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So, yes. If Robert Kraft wants Mayo to be successful, he should stop being so horned up about the Hall of Fame and start focus on doing whatever
horned
he can.
Horned up about the Hall. That sounds like a great headline.
But that's true. That's why we know about this.
All right, 617-779-7937. More on this. The week that was, and Pat, who had the worst week, Patriots or Red Sox? I actually am hopeful about the Red Sox. Tell me if you are. I put a poll question up to that effect, Curtis.
Yep.
How are you feeling about the Red Sox chatter and interest of the past couple weeks? Hopeful or annoyed? Right now, annoyed is winning 57%. And I think you're in that camp as well.
That's actually pretty good for the team. Only 40, so that's 43%?
They've sucked in 43%, including Greg Hill.
Yep. Well, don't trust the exit polls.
Pats and Dolphins tomorrow as well. We'll talk about the Pats.